What are some of the most misunderstood and confused aspects of Christianity, and how can we respond? Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion, is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. Clearly Christian is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Clearly Christian.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and the
You can look into the practice of ancient Near East religions, and they all had temples or places of worship. Many of them practiced sacrifice of animals. And then there in Exodus chapter 20, you see more sacrifice of animals. You see a tabernacle that would later be fulfilled in a temple. How in the world is what God gave his people, the ancient Israelites, to worship, the tabernacle, the sacrifices, any different from, well, what historians will tell you was just a culture of that kind of worship, blood sacrifice for sins? How was it different, if at all? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on worship in the tabernacle from Exodus chapter 40. A little bit later, the elections are over or almost over. There's still a couple states, I think, that have yet to finish counting or figuring out how the counting went. But nonetheless, we will review the midterm election results with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway, a Fox News contributor. In the meantime, it's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the worship in the tabernacle from Exodus chapter 40. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
How was the tabernacle and the worship that was to take place there different from the temples and various places that the pagans around the children of Israel worshipped?
Well, you remember at the time of Daniel, for example, the leader got Daniel in trouble almost because he made an idol of himself, which was to be worshipped. And that was a very common practice among the ancients who were idolaters. They would make three-dimensional idols and worship them. It's very interesting that the tabernacle did have three-dimensional items. For example, the angels that had been constructed there. So God wasn't against a three-dimensional item unless you worshiped it. So that was a huge difference because that was what you were not to do. The other big item I would recall is that in all of the idolatrous temples, you could come and be in communion with God in such a way that there was no separation between you and God. Whereas in the tabernacle, as well as in the temple, there were ways in which God, in his most holy way, would be separated from the people. And that is because they were still sinners. And therefore, all of the sacrifices that were done, according to Hebrews chapter 10, never took away sins. But they pointed to the Messiah who would come to take away sins. And therefore, the people were declared holy by God insofar as they had proper faith that the one, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptizer refers to him, would come to take away the sins of the world. So those are the two main things I recall. No worship of idols, and there was still this separation between God, particularly in the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could enter once a year.
So describe the tabernacle as it is described, and then eventually in the last chapter of Exodus, set up by Moses according to God's command.
Yes, it's a object that is surrounded by a fence, and the fence is made of silver bases at the bottom and upright frames of acacia wood overlaid with gold. And it is in a rectangular, therefore it's longer than it is wide. And there is the first section, which is called the holy place. That's almost two-thirds of the distance, where sacrifices are made. It's an incense altar. But then beyond that, separated by a curtain, is called the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant is there. And in the Ark of the Covenant is placed, for example, the Ten Commandments, manna, the rod or staff that Aaron had when they crossed the Red Sea, and so forth. Although most of it was open, there was a covering of the most holy place with goat skins or other skins, a waterproof covering, a kind of a camouflage, and that was to keep the riches of the interior from enemies and other bandits. So the focus of worship for the people would be in the larger holy place, but then the most holy place was where only the high priest could go on the Day of Atonement.
So Moses is commanded not only to set this up, and this we should mention, the tabernacle was designed to be taken down and moved with the people as often as the people did move while they were in the wilderness. And I believed it was also moved about after they came into the land for some time. But Moses is commanded to consecrate it with oil. Why? What is that process of consecration about?
Consecration is another word to make holy. When we consecrate someone or something, we are declaring it to be holy, which has the specific meaning of being set apart. So, for example, this is the first time that Aaron and his family became consecrated to be priests. No one else was allowed to be priests. And that consecration occurred when the tabernacle was erected. Now, Moses did the first sacrifice because they had not yet been anointed. But once that anointing took place and they anointed the altar of burnt offering, all the utensils, and the holy altar became most holy when it was consecrated because it was set apart for the presence of God. But remember, that most holy place, the people were not permitted to enter into that, so their sinful condition was still remembered by them in that they did not have full communion with God by entering into the Holy of Holies. But that has changed in our day because all of this was pointing forward to Christ, to the one, as said so well in Daniel, that the Ancient of Days, God the Father, sent into the world, referred to as the Son of Man, to redeem the world. And therefore the fulfillment of the tabernacle came to fruition with the death of Christ on the cross, best remembered when the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, remember, it got torn. Now, that didn't mean that now we could go into the Holy of Holies, but it meant that God came out to us. And a number of times, the growing in Christ material makes that very clear, where it talks about that, it even mentions the time when the Holy of Holies curtain is torn, and ultimately pointing to Jesus, indicating that God leaves the Holy of Holies and comes to us in the waters of baptism and in the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist, and also in the preaching of the pulpit. In fact, one of the statements they indicate is the following, that when the pastor preaches the gospel from the pulpit, the separation between God and man is gone, torn from heaven to earth like the curtain in the temple. God comes to us through his word. Now, that's another big distinction between the pagan temples and their gods, where the people always went to them. But who can forget the Luke 15, the lost sheep? The lost sheep doesn't go to the Savior, jumps on his shoulders, and is taken home. The shepherd Savior comes to the lost sheep, finds him, puts him on his shoulders, and with joy returns him to his rightful place. So it's really a different understanding even of the direction between God and people that the Christian church follows as instructed in the Bible, rather than the pagan rituals of trying to find God, inviting him into your heart, and trying to be good enough so that he will save us.
Why was there that separation where the high priest alone had access, and then only by this kind of once-for-all sacrifice on the Day of Atonement? Why was that separation maintained in not only the structure, but the teaching about the tabernacle?
Because God was still using law and gospel. In other words, the law was showing that here's God's will for us, and we keep failing. And therefore, until the gift of the forgiveness is received, and ceremonial, according to Hebrews 10, never gives the people the gift of the forgiveness of sins. But God still looks to their faith, not to their sacrifices. For example, Abraham is told that you and your old wife, past childbearing age, will have a baby. Abraham believed, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. So we're not saying that the Old Testament people were not saved, but they weren't saved by doing anything. All of their sacrifices, all of their ceremonial cleansing was looking forward to the one who would come to be their ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Psalm 22 even says he's going to be pierced in hands and feet. And then, of course, we're going to be washed in the waters of baptism, and the word of God is going to be preached in its purity. In fact, this coming Sunday, it talks about the new covenant, where God will now bring us into his presence because of the cross of Christ that not only forgives us our sins, but dresses us in the robe of righteousness. So that's another big difference between Christians and the Old Testament people. I do not need a priest to pray for me. No Christian does. Jesus, when he taught them how to pray, used the word Abba, our Father, which is Aramaic, kind of like for daddy, in a way that no Old Testament believer would ever have used. It was way too familiar. But as Christians, washed in the waters of baptism, dressed in the robe of righteousness, we are God's children, and therefore we don't need anyone except Jesus to be our mediator between God and man. And we are already declared holy. In fact, I often say this in a communion instruction, that I will not allow a person to come to communion unless they are a sinless saint. And that wasn't able to occur in the Old Testament to the level that it does, because something happened in the waters of baptism, namely the Pentecost baptism, that had not occurred in the Old Testament to anybody, where each Christian receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that permits them then to receive the very body and blood of Christ. Many in the Old Testament had the Holy Spirit working in them faith, in giving them part of the Holy Spirit to do good leadership, etc. But this gift of the Holy Spirit is first noticed and remarked on in the Pentecost baptism, where Christians now are children of God, holy and sinless, to the point that they can go up to the Holy of Holies, the altar, and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson with him on worship in the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 20. We'll talk about the connection between the tabernacle and the Garden of Eden after this.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you in the market for a home, car, or student loan? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During November, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, Christian Friends of New Americans. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church, LutheranFCU.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The confusion of our present age is all around us. Now, as Christians, we ought not to be confused, no matter how confused the world may be or attempt to make us. Christians have a light in the darkness of confusion. We have an anchor in the storms of life. We have a clear guide star in the midst of all the misdirection that is out there. It is the very Word of God in Holy Scripture. That theme comes through again and again and again in the Issues, Etc. book of the month for November called Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion. Find out more about this resource at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Clearly Christian, the Issues, Etc. book of the month for November. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson from Exodus chapter 40, the worship in the tabernacle. Tom, the Growing in Christ Sunday School curriculum actually makes a connection between the tabernacle, in particular, how it was furnished and decorated with the Garden of Eden. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I had not really thought about that much until I read that. But they make some very good points that it's connected to the Garden of Eden. Because remember, in the Garden of Eden, there were two things that Adam and Eve lost. They lost the ability to talk to God when they sinned and were removed. And they lost the ability to hear from God. Well, guess what? The actual furnishings of the tabernacle reminded them of the Garden of Eden. There were even, like on the curtains, plants that would have been in the Garden of Eden. angels were prefigured there also. And so I've always said that when we come to church, it's a back taste of the Garden of Eden and a foretaste of heaven itself. Because remember what they lost. They lost rest. The Sabbath was set aside, even in the ceremonial laws, as the day not of Saturday only, not of the seventh day. That's not what Sabbath means, but the day of rest. And so when we go to church, it's like going back into the Garden of Eden, where we talk to God in prayer, in praise, in hymns, and he talks to us in the liturgy, in the readings, in the sermon, and he gives us gifts in holy baptism and the Lord's Supper, as well as hearing proper instruction from the pulpit as to the meaning of his word.
At the end of that chapter, it mentions that this pillar of cloud had descended with the glory of God on the tabernacle after it was consecrated. And then, kind of in passing, it says that if the pillar stayed there, then the people stayed there. And if it lifted up, then the people would get up and follow it. Talk about the significance of that. The tabernacle, even in the center of the camp, becomes for them where God's presence is and how God leads them.
Yes, it reminds us of when they left Egypt. Remember, they were protected from the Egyptians in the daytime by a pillar of fire, at night, and a cloud in the daytime. And we get to realize that that actually symbolized the second person of the Trinity, the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ himself. Well, now, guess where they're going? Yes, they have to spend an additional 38 years in the wilderness, besides the two because of their refusal to go into the promised land because of their fear of the people. So they had 40 days in the wilderness. But during those 40 days, God did not leave them. He still was in the cloud during the day and the fiery cloud by night. And the way the people knew that it was time to move on is that God would take up the cloud. And in that way, it was time then to make or continue their journey and finally get to the promised land. So we now also have that cloud in our churches. The cloud is symbolized by a bunch of architecture. The church I pastored and a number of them I've been preaching at, it's kind of erected like an upside down boat or ark, because First Peter reminds us that in baptism, seven people were saved, and we also are saved by baptism. And then front and center is the altar, the pulpit, and the baptismal font. Now, some churches have the baptismal font at the back, like Concordia Seminary, its chapel, and I think Fort Wayne does also, which reminds every person walking in that they're coming into communion with God because of having received the gift of the Holy Spirit and the robe of righteousness in baptism. So God is definitely there. Any pastor who gives the impression that he is able to baptize you or forgive you or give you the body and blood of Christ, that's a bad pastor, because we do that in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. And a number of times in the Sunday school lesson, it makes a point that Moses was building the tabernacle according to the command of God. So a proper worship service follows God's will because it is the proper way to receive the means of grace to persuade us our sins have truly been forgiven, heaven is our home, and God will never leave us nor forsake us.
So How would you say, as you did at the beginning of our conversation, that the tabernacle and what God commanded to take place there prefigured and hung upon its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection?
Well, you'll remember, and the people did not like this. There were a whole set of sacrifices they had to do under the ceremonial laws, and they were different sacrifices, sometimes animals, sometimes fruit, sometimes grain, depending on the level of their sacrifice. But God was showing them, look it, there needs to be some kind of a sacrifice to offset your sin. But as Hebrews 10 points out, even the sacrifice of animals did not give them the forgiveness of sins. What gave them the forgiveness of sins was their faith that these sacrifices were pointing forward to the one who would come to take away their sins. I mean, the messianic promises are everywhere in the scripture. And therefore, we ought not be surprised when John the Baptizer, realizing who Jesus is, says, behold, the Lamb of God who has come, what? To take away the sins of the world. And in that way, Jesus fulfills all of the Old Testament sacrifices. In fact, Paul makes a big point. Don't be arguing anymore about the Sabbath and things like that, the ceremonial laws, because they've all been fulfilled now. We as Christians do not follow both the civil laws of the Old Testament, we have our own that God has set up, nor do we follow the ceremonial laws, because Jesus has fulfilled them, and therefore we are free from having to do something to offset our sin. Through the Holy Spirit, we repent of that sin, and it is covered not by the blood of a lamb that we sacrifice, but the blood of the only begotten Son of God, the Lamb, who willingly sacrificed himself for me and for you.
With about 30 seconds, the law and gospel for the Sunday school children from this 40th chapter of Exodus.
Yes, the law, both in the tabernacle as well as our confession of sin in the church, shows that in reality we are unholy and we are not worthy to stand in the presence of God. But the gospel, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, makes a promise that we are cleansed of our sin, we are declared to be holy, and now Jesus Christ even dwells within us and the Holy Spirit, so we're able to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in our mouths.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
We will review the midterm election results with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of Fox News right after the break.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
With religion in America continuing its historic decline over yet another year, many may wonder, how fares the LCMS? This November, the Lutheran Witness is once again shedding light on the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find the latest on global mercy work, missions, membership statistics, schools, and more in this special edition. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the world through a Lutheran Christian perspective.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Join us for the Divine Service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org.
Sanctifying your yard work with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the Synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Because Christ lives, life lives, and death is dead forever.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.